The first Sunday in Advent. The epistle is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, understand, for it is now the hour for us to rise from sleep, because now our salvation is nearer than when we came to believe. The night is far advanced, the day is at hand. Let us therefore set aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk becomingly as in the day, and not in revelry and drunkenness, not in debauchery and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Please stand for the gospel. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "There will be signs in the sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations bewildered by the roaring of the sea and waves, men fainting for fear and for expectation of the things that are coming on the world. For the powers of heaven will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming upon a cloud with great power and majesty. But when these things begin to come to pass, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is at hand." And he spoke to them a parable. "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now put forth their buds, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things coming to pass, know that the kingdom of God is near. Amen, I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all things have been accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Many years ago, there was a man, John. He was away at war. And he was, word had come back to his family, to his wife, that he was, you know, he was going to come home permanently. This was in the days before, you know, it wasn't just a furlough. And this was in the days before internet and, you know, really easy telephone calls. So communication wasn't, you know, it wasn't as easy. So, of course, his wife, his family, his brothers and sisters and friends in town eagerly looked forward to his return. And so his wife, of course, planned to get together with the family. His friends from high school also planned to get together and to spend some time with John after he returned. And when he did return, of course, there was a big celebration. His children were happy to see him, his wife, his mother, his father, his brothers and sisters. And there was, of course, a great party. It was not something wild, of course. But it was a party with true joy and happiness. In the subsequent days, John then went out with his friends. They welcomed him back, his old place of employment, and other people that he knew in town. It was cause of celebration. And this should be our mindset during this season of Advent. We are to commemorate the coming of our Lord. And there's a time of preparation for that. And then there's a time of celebration. Just as the celebration of John's return couldn't occur without him being there, so the celebration of Christmas shouldn't occur until Christmas actually comes. Today in our society, Christmas is basically starts about now. We now have all the advertisements on TV. It's actually starting even before now, but usually from Thanksgiving, we have all the advertisements. Of course, all the stores have a vested interest. They want, they're not really interested in Christmas. They're really interested in a good sales, right, of course. And so the Christmas celebrations, with all this in mind, it begins to creep forward until now, of course, the day after Christmas, everybody forgets about Christmas. If you go, you can see the trees being picked up the day after Christmas by the garbage men. And even sometimes, it seems like I've even seen some trees out before Christmas, ready, already done. We're over on the 25th at Maybe noon, the tree is outside. This is unfortunate. Now is the time at which we prepare for the coming of our Lord, and then we celebrate his advent, his coming, from Christmas to Epiphany, the 12 days of Christmas. There is a large celebration. It's extended through time. It's not, we just can't spend one day, but there are many days in which we celebrate the return of Christ. Or I guess I should say, commemorate his first coming in Bethlehem. And so it's important for us to keep this in mind. Liturgically, this is a time of penance. Remember, and just in general, actually, penance, but liturgically it's reflected. Remember, violet is the color of penance. We wear violet on Sundays to represent this. There's no flowers upon the altar. You notice the altars are bare to remind us, as a little penance, to remind us of this. There's no Gloria at this time. If you notice, we went right to the choir. There was no Gloria. We went from the Kyrie, and then there wasn't a Gloria before the readings, because during the time of penance, you don't do that. The music is also a little more subdued. If you notice, the chants were a little more subdued in order to remind us of this little bit of preparation that we're supposed to do during these days. And when we prepare for Christmas, of course, there's a lot of, or when we look forward to Christmas, there's a lot of preparations. You know, most families have a tree. We want to prepare for gifts. There is some, decoration as we get closer to the day. And that is good. That is a good thing to do. We don't want to downplay that, but we also don't want to confuse this season as the Christmas season. This is the Advent season. And so what we do to commemorate, to prepare for celebrating our Lord's first coming, the church during this time wants us to look at and prepare for his second coming. That is, his coming at the end of time, if we're here, or really when we meet him at the end of our time, that we are to look at and reflect upon our lives. And we are to prepare for that coming also. And that is probably the more important preparation. The penance of this season is different than the penance of Lent. Remember, at Lent, we are to look at our sins and how we have separated ourselves from Christ through my own act, and then my sins lead to concupiscence. My soul is changed because of my sin, and that I need to do penances to undo that, to turn away from sin. That's what Lent is about. This season, though, is about turning to Christ, turning to him. Turn away from sin is only half the way back to Christ. We have to turn towards him. And so we're supposed to look at our little actions or little things in our life that maybe could be time better spent. There are sins, and then there are imperfections. Imperfections. What's an imperfection? An imperfection is something that I do that I could do better. It's imperfect. In a spiritual sense, it's something that I do that is not sinful, but I could do something else that could draw me closer to Christ. These are imperfections. These are our daily occurrences. Rather than reading a book on the Civil War, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing sinful unless there's, really, really bad book. But there's nothing sinful in that. But one could maybe spend that time more spiritually productive, maybe by spending some time in prayer or reading a spiritual book or something related to the saints. This is the concept of imperfection. And this is the time at which we should look at that, take stock at our life. how much time are we spending on these things? And just as we rearrange and prepare for Christ, the celebration of Christmas and Christ coming in the manger, so we need to rearrange our lives to prepare for his second coming, to really put him first in our life. There are a lot of things that we do that are necessary for our life here in exile, in this world. But sometimes we can maybe put away some of those. So what are the type of things we're talking about? Like I said, maybe reading a book, watching a movie. Now, many movies today are pretty sinful, but there are still movies that are, I think, good. But it's the same thing. Rather than seeing a movie, what else could I do? Activities. All of our activities. You know, many families, the children, there are many activities with the children. There's music and sports and different clubs and activities. And sometimes families are traveling around so much that there's no real time for prayer. Many of you know what I have to say about that. That everyone needs to do a half hour prayer every day. If you're not doing a half hour of prayer, there's something wrong. You're either way too busy or maybe too slothful. You need to find the time. A half hour prayer is the bare minimum grade. It's the C minus minus. A half hour. And so, of course, you know, the rosary is a great prayer to do. And we do the rosary about 20 minutes, do a little prayer in the morning, do a little prayer in the evening, and at least we can get that done. So for families, if you're not doing the rosary, now is the time to stop and think, why not? Why aren't we gathering together as a family to pray the rosary? Why aren't we able to gather together as a family, maybe to just sit down and have supper, afterwards do the rosary? We have to set our priorities. And maybe those activities aren't sinful, but they are imperfections. Imperfections. Watching sports is not sinful. Maybe some of the commercials are, but the sports itself isn't sinful. But if we spend all of our time there, that time, some of that time could be better spent trying to find the perfect apple crisp recipe for dessert. Is not sinful, but that time could be better spent. Like I said, all of our activities, time on the internet, all of these things. This is the time that we're supposed to really look at it. Look at our lives. Just as we prepare for the coming of Christ, and just as in the little story, John returning from the war, everybody prepared for his coming. So we are supposed to look at our life and to prepare for when we meet him face to face. Now is the time to do that. Christ is coming, and we need to be prepared to meet him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.